Hey, thank you everybody. Well, Happy New Year again. Here we are, 2023. Who would have ever thought that we'd be in 2023? It's amazing, isn't it? So, a new year. Well, really it's just a mark in the calendar, isn't it? You know, life continues. Nothing radically changes, so last night, I went down to see the fireworks with one of our boys, and I went to the 9 o'clock, the family-friendly version, and we watched all the fireworks and got caught in hundreds of cars trying to get back off the Cenotaph area down there, and. But nothing much had changed. There was fireworks and had gone off, and then Alex said to us, "Well, we've outlived another year, Dave." As we were about to go to sleep, while a lot of other people were up partying, yeah. But we did. We were awake for the new year, so here we are. But most of us do like. It's interesting this whole new year thing, and even as Alex and I were sitting after we got the kids to bed last night, we were sitting out on our deck and just having a chat, and Alex is saying, "Oh, I sort of get Christmas. I don't really get the New Year thing. I don't get why all the celebration around the New Year." And I said, "Well, I guess people just like to celebrate, really. It's an opportunity to go and do it." But probably when I think about it, who likes new things? Everyone does, don't they? You know, we like new. We like new clothes, we like new cars, we like new motorbikes, we like new bikes. A bit of personal stuff there. New music, new electronic gadgets. I've got a boy who's got one, he's got one game format, but he's saving all his money flat out so he can get a different one. And he sort of feels that when he gets to that point, that life will be... Well, life will be different because he's got a different gaming console. We all like new things, don't we? And who's ever... It's interesting, though. You buy a new car. And remember that feeling, and some of you, if you've bought a new car, you think, "Oh, I'm going to keep this car good forever. It's not going to be scratched. And we're always going to clean it, and we're going to keep it really, really good." And I remember bought Alex many years ago a brand new Volkswagen Golf. It was a beautiful dark blue Volkswagen Golf, and it was really, compared to the car she had, it was really nice and sleek. First trip out in it. She goes out with her sister, and her sister opens the door. If you're online, welcome, Nikki. And her sister opens the door, bang, onto a parking meter and puts a dent in it, first trip out. Anyway, a few weeks later, we were having a barbecue up at Waterworks, and Alex comes up there in her car, and it used to go pretty well, and the sun was in her eyes, and she didn't see this speed hump going into Waterworks. And I was already there, and I saw her coming. She hits the speed hump. The sump under the car hits the speed hump as well. And then there's oil pouring out from under her brand new car. I could go on. It wasn't then. But the new things, new things become older very quickly. We start something and then we think, "Oh, we're going to keep it like that." And, yesterday we were out in the garden, and I don't know why we chose to be out in the garden on the hottest day of the year. But we were out there, and I'm wearing this pair of runners, and, they're all covered in garden stuff and dirt and everything like that. And I remember when Cody and I went into the centre of Brisbane, and we bought that pair of runners, and they were all bright and new and sharp, and it's like, I'll keep these new. But eventually they become your gardening shoes or your painting shoes or those new clothes you got, at some point that that shirt that you paid a lot of money for, that you only wore on special occasions, is the one you use for painting. You know, new things have a way of becoming old. And we start a new year thinking, I'm going to keep this year good. I'm not going to do some of the things I did last year. I'm going to make these resolutions, and you know, I'm going to eat less, I'm going to drink less, I'm going to be fitter, I'm going to lose it with the kids less, I'm going to be nicer to my wife. You know, all those things that you think about, and you make these resolutions, and before long, they're not working. Who's found that? I'm not going to eat chocolate to excess anymore. And all of a sudden, oh, well, I've done it now. Well, maybe we'll just leave it. 2024 will be my year, you know. And we get like that. And in many ways, that whole making resolutions things, rather than being empowering, is disempowering. And perhaps you're starting 2023... feeling pretty good so far. You haven't really had a lot of time yet to foul up, have you? You haven't really had a lot of time. You haven't had a lot of time to do too much damage yet. Anybody done any damage so far? Wow. If you live on your own, it's probably easier. But anyway, we haven't had any. We've gone all right this morning. But let me encourage you, and where we're going to go this morning. In Romans 10 verse 9, it says this, because I think this is the thing. Like I want to talk about how we frame a year, how we declare what we actually do with our words that actually set us up. But where I'm going here is we can feel disappointed, but one of the most powerful declarations we can make, and I'll come to that in a moment, is it says in Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And our salvation is not something that just happened that time in 1972 or 1983 or 1994 or 2016 when you prayed that prayer and you came to Jesus for the first time. Salvation is something that happened then, it's happening now, and it continues to happen. That you were saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. So if you declare with your mouth, you are saved. As you go into a year where, you know, stuff will happen, stuff will go on, there will be challenges, there will be disappointments, you will make mistakes. But if we, listen to what it says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, over our stuff, over the good times, over the bad times, over my wins, over my losses, over my mistakes, over my brilliance. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord over those things, he will and promises he will save you, and he is your salvation through that. So don't be discouraged as we frame a year. There'll be stuff that goes on, but if we declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord, he is Lord in everything, whatever happens. So how do we frame a year? And we're starting the year with prayer and declaration. And we want to set a great pattern for this year. So particularly over January, we've got these things and we'll give them out later. They've even got a little magnet. You can stick it on your fridge or wherever you like. Once upon a time, you could have stuck them on the steel dash of your car, but nobody has them anymore. It'll be on social media too. But there is a power in declaration. And it's not just, oh, I'm declaring good things over my life. I'm declaring, you know, this year my bank account will go up remarkably. I will drive a supercar. You know, it's not that sort of thing. It is actually declaring the promises that God has already made and deciding that we line ourselves up with his promises. That's the power of declaration. So this will be, there'll be on social media every day as we pray and we declare together through January. You can also put these up and we'll give them out a little bit later. But how do we frame our year? And the thing that has really been on my heart this week that God spoke to me about as we come into this year. How do we approach? And you think about different ways, don't you? The way you would approach the King of England. It's a new year. We've got to get used to that, haven't we? The way you would approach the King of England, the way you might approach the Prime Minister, the way that you might approach, you know, somebody that is seen to be significantly important, is different to the way that you would approach your old schoolmate. The way that our kids approach their friends is different to the way that they approach us. They approach us with, "Dad, I need. But it was interesting the other morning. I came downstairs and Kyle was down there, and Cody had a friend staying, and Kyle heard somebody coming, and he thought it was the other young guy that was staying with us, and I just heard the way that he said hello, and then I came around the corner and said, "Oh, it's you, Dad." So the way that he would approach me is actually different to his school friend. So how do we approach this year? How do we approach God in 2023? And obviously that's not different to any other year, but how do we enter or approach? And in Psalm 100 verse 4 it says, "Enter his gates with what? With thanksgiving." With thanksgiving. "And go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name." And I think, you know, the way that you approach the King of Kings, I believe, is probably different to the way that you should approach the King of England or the King of Australia. Or, you know, there's etiquette about how you do that. You know, there's etiquette about whether you bow or curtsy and you're showing respect, you know, within the realm that we understand. And I'm not critical of that at all. But how do we approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Yeah. You know, in one way, I think if we were to come face to face with God, well, we would have no option but to do a little bit more than a bow or a curtsy. You know, we would be on our face by the sheer magnitude and brilliance and the weight of the glory of God. But the way that we actually approach within this context, he says, "Come to me," and you read that we're told to come boldly, we're told to come confidently, and we actually come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come giving thanks. We come giving thanks that God has brought us this far and he won't let us down. And that's how we approach the new year. If we come into 2023, if we approach our God with thanksgiving in our hearts, it's amazing the way that it frames the year. You know, if we come with, I want, Lord, and I need, and could we, and all those things are there. And sometimes we have to pray those prayers of asking. But when we come with, "Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed me. Thank you, Lord, that you have done so many good things in me. Thank you for what I have walked through. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for my family." All these things that we actually can come with the thankfulness of God. And it's amazing when you come with thankfulness, it actually changes. It changes you. It changes you. And I think if we can come to 2023 with thanksgiving in our hearts and in his courts. In other words, that psalm was written in sort of an approach of coming to the temple, of coming to that place where people connected with the very presence of God. So the writer's saying, come with thanksgiving and enter the courts, enter that place, enter that sphere. How? With, "Oh, gee, it's been a tough week this week and I feel pretty rotten." But some, yes, you can be honest about that. I'm not trying to do that. But regardless of how you've come, when we come together, when we come with, "I will praise the Lord," enter his courts with praise, enter 2023 with praise, it is amazing what God can do. See, the power of our words are incredible. And it says in Proverbs 18 to 21, it says, "Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk," listen to this, "those who love to talk," it doesn't say any more than that, "those who love to talk will reap the consequences." It's amazing, isn't it? The power we can frame our year, we can frame our world with the type of language we speak. You know, like if you love to talk, if you love to gossip, well, you will reap the consequences. And it's really simple like that. If you're talking about other people, they just might be talking about you. You know, there's a whole lot in that. Or you can actually be using your words to bless people. You can be using your words to build people up. You can be using your words to encourage people. You can be using your words to declare the goodnesses and the purposes of God. You can be using your words to talk about people that are sleeping around the edge of this building that would find hope and purpose and family in the kingdom, and the walls between here and there would be broken down. You can use your words to actually frame those things and they become reality. Because in the kingdom, they're already reality. It is actually our words that bring them into this realm and bring about change. You can use your words to frame that. The power of life and death is in our tongue. It says in John 15, verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Isn't that the key thing there is actually abide? When you choose to live in relationship, in connection, and actually live. And I love the way that it says, you actually get something expressed here that it's really hard to get words around, to abide in Christ. It means that you're in his protection. You're in his covering. You're in his heart. You're in his culture. You're in that. And when you're in that place, you can ask whatever you like. Why? Because when you're in that place, what you ask will be in line with the will of God. You won't be saying, you know, but the Bible shows us some weird and wonderful things. But, you know, there's that verse which is really interesting, like the prophet Elisha. You know, he gets mocked by these youths, you know, and he actually, he calls a curse on them. We're told that a bear comes down and mauls, you know, these disrespectful young guys that were teasing the prophet about his old bald head. And sometimes we think, wow, that's weird. I don't quite get that. But you see, that we're not actually, when we're in Christ, we're actually not praying that somebody would be cursed. We're not praying that something like that would happen to them, because you're actually full of the goodness of God and you're praying blessings on people. And we find ourselves in that place. When we live in Christ, his words live in us, and that is what we speak. Psalm 22:22, and it's the first one on our list. This is our declaration for today. I will declare your name to my people in the assembly, and I will praise you. You see, when we declare the name and the character of God, it changes our hearts. See, God is not needing his name to declare to make him feel more secure. He's not needing his name to be declared just because, oh, I feel good about that because all those people are declaring my name. He actually has asked us to declare his name, because something changes in us when we declare his name. When we actually align our words and our thinking with the will of God, we have the capacity to change the atmosphere around us. It's amazing. What are the first things you speak when you get up every morning? And nobody has to yell them out right now. For a lot of you, it might be like, oh! Yeah, Alex says, if I'm home, can I have a coffee? Yeah, but, I mean, that's... But what are the things that we actually say? And I think if we start to be really, really setting our day, setting our year, setting those moments in using our mouth to actually declare the goodness of God, I will declare your name to my people. Who are your people? Who are your people? Yeah, it's here, it's out there, and maybe there's a whole lot of different contexts to that, isn't it? that when you're declaring it in your own family and you're declaring it in the community, you're declaring it with those people you meet. That's what we can do. You see, when His Spirit works through us, His goodness flows through us and brings about change in the environment that we're living. That's really powerful. Psalm 145 verse 1 says, I will exalt you, my King, and praise your name forever. And you see, when we make Him larger, our problems, our issues actually become smaller. When we make God larger, see, that's when I will exalt you, God, my King. I guarantee in this year, I can't promise you that you will have less challenges than last year. I'd like to think so. I'd like to think we've moved past a few things, but we will move into other things. But when you are exalting God, it's amazing. Actually, His magnitude is being declared in your life over your stuff, over those things. And you make Him bigger, your problems actually get smaller. It's amazing. You try it. It actually works and it brings about change. When we make Him larger, our problems and issues become smaller. John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask for anything according to His will, He hears us. So again, when we approach Him and we exalt Him, we are in a position to actually start to speak about the things that we are perceiving of His will and the things that we are working for in His name, and He hears us and He works through us. We can actually frame our days, our years, our moments with that sort of talk and that sort of thinking and that sort of attitude. Listen to what James says. James 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man, here we go, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life for which God promised to those who love Him. Blessed is the man or the woman or the people that actually continue to stand when we go through trials. And I think when you go through trials, there is a power in declaring the goodness of God as you've done that. And I look around here. I could go around here right now. And we could hear testimonies of 2022. And we could actually hear how people have actually declared the goodness of God and they have stood steadfast under trials. Where people have stood steadfast, you know, under financial challenges. People have stood steadfast under massive health challenges. People have stood steadfast under family challenges. People have stood steadfast, you know, in things at work. People have stood steadfast when life didn't unfold how you had imagined, how you had expected, how you had thought the next season of your life might be. But it says when we stand steadfast and we declare His goodness in that, we actually receive a crown. In other words, you find yourself, yeah, there's the talk about almost the end game and that sense of when this life is finished, but there's also a sense of when you walk like that, you walk above some of the stuff. You think about a king and a crown, and you know, a king is actually ruling and leading, especially if he does well, from above. In other words, getting a perspective where you're not getting bogged down into minutiae, into all these little details. And I think one of the things as we remember the year that's just gone, and Queen Elizabeth, the longer she reigned, the more we actually saw the mastery in many of the things that she didn't say and many of the things that she didn't get involved in, but actually bringing a word that actually spoke to a bigger picture. Yeah. And I think when we choose to live like that, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, and it says they will receive a crown. In other words, we actually take on a mantle that enables us to live above and rise above the challenges rather than being pulled in to the vortex of every single challenge that comes our way. And I believe in 2023 we can frame a year when we declare those sorts of words. I'll finish with this one, Psalm 2, 7 and 8. And right at the beginning of Psalms it says, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, listen to this, ask me and I will give you the nations, your inheritance, the ends of the earth, your possession. Wow. What a declaration. What a declaration. And I think we do, you know, June and Sherry, as we see beyond. Ask and I will give you the nations. Ask and I will give you the nations. And I think, you know, even here today as we approach a year from a fairly humble position, if we want to decree and declare the Lord's favour and his presence and his sonship, that we walk in that as his father, and then he says, ask me and I will give you the nations. Come on, let's be praying big prayers in 2023, and in the prayer meeting that we started with here before, you know, we prayed for lots of things, but most of all we declared the goodness of God and Jesus over our year and over our situation. But we think about the blessing we have here with this facility. You know, ask me and I will give you the nations. And that's one of the things that's happening here. Ask me. You know, and there was a word spoken in that meeting about this place being a beacon of light, you know, beyond just where it is. And I'll give you the nations, you know, like our Christmas. You know, we have the nations actually coming into our presence. We have the nations actually coming into our cities. We have the nations. We have Moona, the most multicultural suburb in Hobart. We have the nations. And God says, you ask me, and I will give you the nations. I will give you a relationship with you. I will give you trust with them. I will give you favour with them. I will give you hope with them. I will give you the opportunity to share Jesus and see lives and people changed. And, you know, I could go on and on as we think about, you know, working with Pastor Vivek and the team in Nepal and building another centre there that's a beacon of hope. Ask me and I will give you the nations. Ask me and I will give you an inheritance. Come on, let's stand right now and we're gonna pray, we're gonna declare. I'm wondering, team, if you can hand out these prayer and declaration forms here right now. To our online audience, I want to give a big shout out to our online team here, and especially Janet, who is on the camera right there. And I'm making life very hard for her by jumping up and down. But our team here do a great job making sure that we can connect, whether we can be here in the building or not. But let's have a look at these. January 1, first day of the new year. Declare his name. Praise our good God. And that's how we're going to frame our year. January 2, we're going to agree with his promises. January 3 talks about that we can do all things through Christ's strength. You know, come on, ask and I'll give you the nations. You know, we're going to pray for the future development here. We're going to praise God and expect miracles. We're going to declare the freedom that we have in Christ. We're going to say that Christ would be our first love. We're actually going to declare that we would long for his presence. We're going to pray for our nation and the people of our land. You know, our nation, the nations that we've been asked to pray for. You know, we're in such a state at the moment that, you know, we're not going to fix things up with another change in government. We're not going to fix things up with policy change. We need an outpouring of the presence of God like never before. We need an outpouring of the Spirit like never before. We actually need revival. We need that time where the Spirit of God is working and touching people and they're actually turning to him like never before. Can you believe that 2023 could just be that year? It could be a time where we see an outpouring, where we see the presence of God manifest like never before. Come on, if you believe it. And if you believe it, start to declare it. If you believe it, start to pray it. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you are our King of Kings. You are our Lord of Lords. And we enter your courts right now with thanksgiving in our heart. We enter 2023 with thanksgiving in our heart. We enter 2023 full of praise, Lord Jesus. And we declare your goodness. We declare peace. We declare prosperity. We declare longevity. We declare a heart that is actually for people like never before, Lord Jesus. And we ask that you would pour out your Spirit. And we want to. I'll finish this morning with that famous verse from Chronicles. If my people, if you're in the kingdom, if you're his people who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. We declare that, Lord Jesus, and we approach you with humility. We stand in the gap on behalf of our communities, of people in our world, of what's going on at the moment. And we ask that you would just hear from us right now, and that you would just pour out your Spirit. You would bring a great healing, that there would be a great awakening and a great revival. The name of Jesus Christ would be lifted up. It would be spoken in places that it's never been spoken before. We thank you that you're able to take what an enemy meant for harm, and you're able to turn it from good, and you're able to turn it right around. And we see right now, we see your name being spoken, and we see healing in places where it was never ever imagined. We see some of those things which seem so opposed to you, we see them being turned around, and we see revival in those places, Lord Jesus, right now. Lord Jesus, right now, we see that. We see you working in incredible ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're worthy of it all.